Good morning. That was Fiona, Jeremiah, and Maggie. Give it up for those guys again. Give it up for those guys. Nice work. We forget sometimes that these scripture stories that we read, they're about real people who had real thoughts. And they lived real lives just like we are. And that's great when you see a dramatic thing like that. Really, really hits home. Did for me. So my name's Mike Lynch, and I'm a child of God. That's the most important thing about me. I'm trying to follow Jesus. I succeed some of the time, and not so much some of the other times, but I'm trying, hopefully like you are too. I'm also serving as an elder here at Harbor of Hope, and every now and then the leadership gets desperate enough and they ask me to preach. So lucky you. Anyway. So, what do you think about death? Here's a good conversation starter for you. Tomorrow at work, I want you to sit across the table at a cafeteria with a coworker or, match.com, first date. Good. So what do you think about death? You know, let's start right there. Get right down to it. You know, it's something that probably doesn't occupy your thoughts a whole lot of the time, but really smart people in our world have done a study. They have determined that humanity has 100% mortality rate. Did you know that? We do. So this is a story about death. Aren't you glad you came? And hope. Yeah, you are glad you came. The focus of this story, this drama that you heard, read, is a thief. A thief on a cross and his personal encounter with Jesus. You might say he was a captive audience if ever there was one. He's often called the repentant thief. This one was one who strayed far from the flock. He was most likely a Jew. We know that because when he spoke to Jesus, you could tell he knew some of the prophecies. Remember me when you come in your kingdom? He didn't just pull that out of the air. He had heard that. He had heard that somewhere. He liked the sound of that word, freedom, too. The freedom of the kingdom of God. Possibly because he'd spent a lot of times when he wasn't free, physically, and then other times just because internally he'd possibly never been truly free. He was damaged goods, but so aren't we all to some degree. Was some of it due to his own bad choices? Absolutely. But look into the backgrounds of people like him. You gotta ask yourself some questions. Was there anyone in his life to point him on the right way or to say, that's the wrong way. Don't go there. Was there anyone in his corner throughout his life saying, hey, man, I'm there for you. You're my bro. I love you. I got your back. But would you please stop doing those stupid things? You know, because that's what love says. I'm there for you. Stop, please. Killing me. You know, was there anybody in there like that? We don't know. But however he got there, his end game was brutal. He's hanging on a cross. He's suffering. He's scared. He's dying, and he knew it. Every breath required great effort. Perhaps he was thinking something like this. Who is this man? This man on the cross next to my cross. This man I'm dying with. I've seen him before. Who is he? I heard him preach once. Man, this dude can preach. Words like I'd never heard before. You see, I'd been to the synagogue once or twice, and rabbis are always there, and they're always shaking their long, bony finger at me, and they're saying, do this! Don't do that! Don't even... You know what you're thinking about back there. Don't even think about that. And by the way, give me the money. You know? And I just found no use for that in my life. But these words from this man, they were different. These words struck a chord. These words got my attention. My head raised up. My ears perked up. He touched a place in my heart that I had forgotten that it was even there. It hadn't been touched in a long, long time. Blessed. That's a good word. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Righteousness. That's a laugh. I mean, me. Career hooligan. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. I am a knucklehead. I'm one of those guys. You know me. But the truth is that I did hunger and thirst for righteousness. On the inside, there was some part of me that really, really wanted to know how to straighten up and fly right, how to be that person. Just had no idea how to get there. But he said something. He said, if I hunger and thirst for righteousness, he said, I will be filled someday. Blessed. For yours is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. Who is this man? Who is this man? I saw the crowds in Jerusalem last week. Maybe you were there too. There were dozens of people at first, and then they grew into hundreds, they grew into thousands. They're all lining the streets and participating in this crazy-looking comical parade. It was early in the morning, and I got to say, my head was kind of pounding, you know, too much last night and all that. But there was something going on, and so I staggered out into the street and shielded my eyes because it was bright outside, and I watched what was going on, and I saw the craziest thing. I saw him, this one, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey, parading through the streets. And all these people are throwing down these branches and throwing down, they're taking off their coats, and they're throwing their coats down into the dirt so the donkey's feet don't touch the dirt. I'm sure this donkey's going, what? But he's walking. And these people are singing. They're yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. The King of Israel? Him? Who is this man? Then I saw something else, something I wouldn't have believed unless I'd seen it with my own eyes. In the crowd, following Jesus, was this guy, and I knew this guy. What was his name? Starts with an L. Starts with an L. Help me. Died the week before. Buried. Lived with the sisters, Mary and Martha. That's it. Thank you. Lazarus. So there's Lazarus walking. No, he's not walking. He's doing a happy dance down the street. Dancing and singing. Now, remember, my poor head was not in the best of shape at this point in my day. And I'm going, whoa. I know this guy. I know what happened here. He was sick, dead. And then they buried him. And now he's here, singing and shouting and doing a happy dance behind Jesus. What? Somebody told me Jesus had raised him from the dead. I said, what? The dead? Hello. Okay, so you tell me, who is this man? Who is this man next to me? The man that's hanging on this cross, right next to my cross. The man who's dying here with me. Who is this man? And why is he here? Why is he here? Why is he here dying? And my buddy over there, my stupid loudmouth buddy who got us into this mess, by the way, my stupid loudmouth buddy, why is this man here dying between the two of us knuckleheads? Why is that happening? You know my mom? Yeah, you know her. Typical Jewish mom. A lot of kids. Gave us too much to eat. Loved everybody. Even the black sheep of the family, which would be me. Mom used to tell us stories from the prophets about how someday there would be this great king. And he was going to come and kick some Roman butt. And I was all about kicking Roman butt. So I love that story. But the weird thing was, and this is what I remembered about it on this day last week. The weird thing was that story had this king coming into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. A king riding on a donkey? I mean, why? There's this guy riding in, trying to look all majestic. He's all that, and he's riding in, and his feet are dangling this far above the ground. I mean, wouldn't you laugh at that? I was laughing at that. But there he was, right before my eyes. This guy riding on a donkey, and everybody's saying, "Hosanna, hail to the king." Another one of my mom's stories, one of my favorite stories, was the one about the striped sheep. You know that one, right? The striped sheep. This would be yes. This would be no. This would be IDK. Okay? Now, didn't your mom tell you these stories? Come on, people. Anyway. See, this sheep was part of a big flock. But he was different than the other sheep. You see, all the other sheep had gone astray. Each one went after his own way because they wanted to find some tasty hay. And I'll stop there. But this sheep didn't go astray. He didn't wander. He obeyed his shepherd. So you know what they did with this sheep? They took him, this one sheep that obeyed, that didn't wander away, and they striped him. Yep, they did. How did she say it? She said, my mother said when she read this part of the story, by his stripes we were healed. I always chuckled at that part. My mom always turned to me and gave me the dirtiest look. Why are you laughing? She'd make like she's going to smack me up the side of the head, but she never did. And then she licked at me every single time, and she said, you, for you little sheep, this sheep will suffer and die for you. And by his stripes, you will be healed. I always stopped laughing then, but I never knew what she meant. Till today. See, today they made us carry these crosses up the streets of Jerusalem. People are laughing at us and throwing tomatoes and everything at us. And I'm right behind this man, this Jesus, and I see his back. And I look at his back, and it's like, oh, gross. His back was like, they whipped the tar out of him. I mean, it was just one big bloody mess, just stripes and stripes and stripes of blood. By his stripes, you will be healed. Those words just came right back to my head. So I've got to know here. I've got to know, who is this man? King riding on a donkey, the striped sheep, the one who heals, the one who takes away the sin of the world? Could he be the one? Could he be the one? Now, I didn't see everything Jesus did. You probably saw a lot more than I did. I was otherwise occupied, if you know what I mean. But you might have heard some of these stories. Remember the one about how he rubbed this mud on this blind guy's eyes. I mean mud. Not even mud from the street. He spit in his hand and made mud with his spit and rubbed it on this guy's eyes, this blind guy. And then he said, receive your sight. And the guy opened his eyes and he could see. How he helped a Canaanite woman. Canaanite, you know the type I mean, right? And he said, her child was sick. And he just said to her, be at peace. Your child is well. And she went home. And the child was all set. Or how he took this kid, was Looney Tunes. I mean, thrashing, foaming at the mouth, all kinds of stuff, Tourette's, all that stuff, even before it was invented and everything else. And he looked at this kid and he commanded the demons to come out of him. And after thrashing about a bit, that kid quieted down, was still, got up, and he was normal. He was at peace. He went home hand in hand with his dad. There's so many stories like this, how he healed everyone who came to him, how those lame people who came, they went away walking. The blind people who came, they went away seeing. Deaf people walked away hearing sounds like music and birds for the first time ever. Sick people became well. Even dead people heard his voice and came out of their graves. But the craziest one, and this is one I saw, the craziest one that I saw with my own eyes, was what he did with this leper. This leper. Now, I mean, you're probably like me. You're probably been taught that from a young age, when the lepers come and walking down the street towards you and you know who they are, first of all, half their face is gone. They've got two fingers left on one hand. Half their feet are eaten up. They're dressed in rags. They smell. They're ringing a bell and they're saying, unclean, unclean, unclean. Not hard to recognize these people, right? So you were taught probably like me, when you see one of those people coming down the street, you just run over as fast as you can to the other side of the street. Because why? You don't want to touch this person. Because if you ever were to touch this person or they were to touch you, you would get it. You would get it, and that would be you. You would be the next one walking down the street with half his face eaten off, two fingers left, one toe left, smelling to high heaven, yelling unclean, unclean, and ringing your bell. Not something any of us wanted. So this guy's coming down the street, ringing his bell, yelling, and yelling, unclean, unclean. And Jesus and his boys are walking down the street too. They're on a collision course. And all of a sudden, Jesus and his boys just stop right there. And this guy just keeps on coming right towards them. And I'm watching this going, why aren't they running away? Don't they know? And then the boys start looking at each other, and their eyes are getting big, and they're walking back. And pretty soon, there's only two people left in the middle of the street, a leper and Jesus. And what happened next, I will never forget. What Jesus did made me cringe inside. The leper got on his knees and he looked up to Jesus and he said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus looked down on him. And Jesus could have just said it, I suppose, like he said things to other people and they were healed and all this stuff. But Jesus actually reached out his hands and touched this man who hadn't been touched in a long time, I'm sure. He touched him. And I'm going, gross! He touched him. And he said, I am willing. Be clean. Be clean. And when we looked at that guy again, he was getting up and his face was back. You know how we could tell? Because that smile is going from ear to ear. And he had five fingers on each hand and five toes on each foot. That leprosy was gone. It was like Jesus had just sucked it into himself. And it did not affect him. He just sucked it in and absorbed it and took it away. Who is this man? Could he be? Could he be what that sign says over his head? That sign says, this is the king of the Jews. Could he be that king? I do remember talking about a kingdom. He talked about it a lot. A kingdom that was coming someday. And that when it did, God's will would be done on earth again, as it is in heaven all the time. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field. That got my attention. I'm all about the treasure. He said it's like a pearl of great price. I like that one too. And then he said it's like a mustard seed, this tiny little seed. And when it grows up into a big plant, and it's got room for all the different types of birds. All the different types of birds. And I was thinking, even the bad ones, even the bad birds like me, even angry bird over there. The kingdom he talked about sounded big. Sounds expansive. Sounded good. Good. Blessed are the poor in spirit, he said, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hey, bro. Yeah, you loudmouth. Will you stop? Just stop your ranting and raving. Just be quiet. Listen, you know as well as I do, we're both getting what we deserve here. But this man, this one between us, he didn't do anything to deserve this. He did nothing. But here he is. This king guy dying on a cross right between us. With us. For us. For me. Jesus? Jesus, would you remember me when you come in your kingdom? And then he heard a voice coming back to him from that cross. And that voice said, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise. Now I want you to think for a moment. You don't have to close your eyes if you don't want to. Go ahead if you want to, just to think and ponder. I want you to think and ponder about your own life and your own death, possibly. I mean, none of us know when this is going to happen. 2 weeks ago, I performed a funeral of a dear, dear friend. No one saw it coming. No one saw it coming. Cancer, 7 months, gone. Scripture tells us to number our days so we may present to Him, to God, a heart of wisdom. Scripture says our lives are like smoke. We don't know when. We don't know that it will happen. This man here, the man on the cross, he knew he had minutes left, hours at most. He was a criminal. He's someone we'd call a bad guy. But was he really? Was that who he was? A bad person at the very core of his being? You know, once upon a time, that guy was born and brought joy into some people's lives. Scripture says that he was created in his mother's womb. God created him. God created him good in his image. In the very image of God, he was created good. Did sin warp him? Did it change him? Did it burden him? Absolutely, just like it does all of us. But he was just another lost sheep, just one who went astray. The only difference between this guy and you and me right now is that he knew exactly when he was going to die. And we don't. He had minutes. We just don't know. And that's why that prayer is so important when he says, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. There's humility there. There's a sense of surrender there. It's going to take me a few more sermons to tell you about the kingdom of God, tell you about paradise and what did Jesus mean when he said that and what happened and all that stuff. Give you a hint. Go back and read about the garden of God. And they'll begin to get a sense of what paradise is all about. But today, let's just leave it right there, raw, right there at the cross. What this thief saying to Jesus in his dying moments, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And then hearing those words, and let them wash right over you today. Truly, I say to you, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Let's pray. Father God, none of us know the day, time, the hour. That's for you and you alone to know. What we do know is that you created us in your image. You've loved us with an everlasting love. That even when we rebelled against you, we were like sheep that went astray. You sent your own son, Jesus, to be that perfect lamb, that perfect sacrifice for us, to absorb into himself all of our uncleanness, all of our sin, all of the stuff and the foolish things that we've ever done. He absorbed them into himself as he died on that cross and said, it is finished, it's done. And now we have a way. So Lord, as you took that thief that day into paradise, I pray today that your mercy and your grace would wash over our hearts and that we too would hear your voice. Pray that prayer. Remember me, Lord, when you come in your kingdom and hear your response. And someday we'll be with you there too in paradise. Amen.